Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're talking about a new interview with Tesla's president of Tesla China, Tesla's expansion into Singapore, a new flagship electric vehicle from Audi, a couple of follow-up things from yesterday, some more news on the Apple Car situation, and SpaceX. Interesting day for the stock today in that there was a lack of interest in trading it. This is the second lowest volume day for Tesla since the beginning of 2018. Pending after-hours trading, about 15 million shares were traded today. That resulted in the stock finishing down 1.6% to $849.46 compared to the NASDAQ, which was up 0.1%. All right, first up today, kind of continuing the conversation that we've been having over the last few days on Gigafactory Shanghai, we're talking about an interview with Tesla's president of Tesla China, Tom Zhu, by Xinhua Net. Most of the media coverage here seems to be centered around his comments on a Shanghai R&D center for Tesla. Zhu said they expect to have that up and running towards the middle of the year, maybe towards the end of the year, and that it's really a full, extensive research and development center from automotive design to engineering to development, and that the goal is to design a Tesla vehicle in China, manufactured in China, but that will be sold to the whole world. This really isn't any news, except for maybe a little bit on the timeline there. When Elon Musk was introducing Giga Shanghai and talked about their desire to have R&D in China, he talked about wanting something to be designed there for the entire world. What I actually thought was a little bit more interesting was his comments on production. He said that their original design capacity for phase one, which is the Model 3 phase, was 150,000 units per year, but then they brought in some new equipment or had upgrades, and their phase one capacity is now at 250,000 units of Model 3, according to Zhu, which of course fits with our current thoughts and the monthly reporting that we've been seeing out of China. He then goes on to talk about 2021 and says that they're fighting to build annual capacity of 450,000 units this year. Now, I do think that's probably a little bit of a lowball. That 450,000 number looks familiar because in Tesla's Q4 report, that's the number they listed for their installed capacity at Shanghai right now. But as we've talked about in the past, that doesn't mean that Tesla's at that production rate because it takes time for them to ramp up production to fully utilize that capacity. Nonetheless, I did find it relevant considering the rumors that we've had over the last couple of days of Model Y being at 700 per day or of targets of 830,000 production capacity for this year. Both of those things I've shared my doubts on, and I think this reinforces those doubts. The other small item of note that I saw in this interview was a question about when Gigafactory Shanghai would be operating with 100% local components, and Zhu said that he thinks within this year it should be possible. That's been mentioned before, but good to see it reiterated here. That should help with margins and working capital. Next up, shortly following the news that Tesla had expanded to Israel, they have now also followed that up with an expansion to Singapore. Currently, only the Model 3 is available, and only in the SR Plus and Performance variants. The non-performance long range is not offered. After taxes, it looks like the Model 3 starts at $113,000 Singapore dollars. That works out to about $85,000 US, and that's before the Certificate of Entitlement costs, which, as far as I can tell, is an auction process for certifying the vehicle for use for a 10-year period of time. And it looks like those are right now around $47,000 Singapore dollars, or around $35,000 US. So essentially it costs $120,000 US for the Standard Range Plus in Singapore, if my understanding is correct, but shockingly, that's actually very competitive. A BMW 3 Series, for example, starts at $209,000 Singapore dollars, or about $158,000 US, and I think that's before the Certificate of Entitlement, which if that's the case, it puts it closer to $200,000 US, or about 70% more expensive than the opening price point Model 3. Even the Toyota Camry, for comparison, looks like it starts at $154,000 Singapore dollars, and again, I'm not certain if that includes the cost of entitlement or not. If it does, that's about $116,000 US, and if not, could be about $150,000 US. Similar to most places outside the US, gasoline is also much more expensive in Singapore, about $6 US per gallon. So the Model 3 should do very well in Singapore, but we won't spend a ton of time on it because the market is relatively small, only about 90,000 vehicles per year. Next today, we have a new flagship vehicle unveiled by the Volkswagen Group under the Audi brand called the Audi e-tron GT. Which will come in two versions, both the standard GT and the more performance-oriented RS GT. And I guess the short way of summarizing this is that it's much more Porsche Taycan than it is Tesla Model S. What I mean by that is that, like the Taycan, I expect this will do pretty well on the track, but it still seems to be limited in terms of other performance. For example, the range for the opening price point GT is expected to be about 238 miles EPA, and then for the RS, just 232 miles EPA. And that's with both versions carrying a 93 kilowatt hour battery, of which it sounds like about 85 kilowatt hours are usable. From an acceleration perspective, definitely a step behind where the Model S is at. The 0 to 60 on the RS is 3.3 seconds, and on the standard GT, 3.9 seconds. And actually, that puts both of them a step behind the Performance Model 3, which is 0 to 60 in 3.1 seconds. Credit to Philip Engberg, he put together a nice chart comparing the Model S, the e-tron GT, the Porsche Taycan, and the Performance Model 3, which, while it's not all-encompassing, does give a nice look at the context for how the specs for each vehicle compare. So as you can see there, the GT RS is going to start at $139,900, just like the Plaid Plus Model S, though the Audi will still be eligible for the $7,500 US federal tax credit. But even the non-Plaid Plus Model S compares favorably to the RS GT here. As for the base GT, that'll start at $99,000. As for charging, the GT will be able to charge at 270 kilowatts of power, so Audi says that can go from 5% to 80% in just under 23 minutes, which isn't too bad, but because of the poorer efficiency and the limited range there, that's only giving you about 178 miles of charge in 23 minutes, whereas the Model S, Tesla says 200 miles in 15 minutes, so for 178 miles, you're probably looking at something like 13 minutes. So the same number of miles added in just over half the amount of time, even though the Model S, right now, is capped at 250 kilowatts. And of course, that assumes you can even find a 270 kilowatt charger for the Audi. So from a high level, that's how they compare. Of course, there are other intangibles that vehicles have that are not directly comparable. And I'll get ahead of the comments right now that whenever we have comparisons like this, the point isn't to say that, oh, the e-tron isn't going to sell because the Model S exists. Hopefully the e-tron takes sales from other internal combustion engine vehicles that Audi would otherwise offer. But a big part of this channel is assessing the automotive market from a business perspective, and to do that, you have to make these comparisons. While we're on the subject of the market, we do have a quick update here on the Apple Car situation and Apple's discussions with Hyundai Kia. Bloomberg on Sunday evening reported that, quote, Hyundai Motor Company and its affiliate, Kia Motors Corp., said that they aren't in talks with Apple Inc. to develop an autonomous vehicle, responding to the intense speculation about the potential new product by the maker of the iPhone, end quote. So that matches previous reports that conversations between the two had been paused, which I think just further demonstrates the point of view that I've had here, that this is going to be really, really difficult for Apple. I mean, they got as far as production timeline rumors, production location rumors, production volume rumors, and now all of a sudden just paused. I mean, maybe the conversation with Apple has gone that far with other automakers as well, and Hyundai Kia is just much leakier than others, but from what we can tell, they certainly seemed farther along down the path. And if Apple then has to kind of backtrack down that path and look for a new path, well, that 2024 target date seems to look even more impossible. Nevertheless, we'll continue to follow that for any updates. Here, just a note on Kia while we're on the subject. Kia today at their investor day unveiled what they call their roadmap for transformation, focusing on electric vehicles and mobility solutions, announcing plans for 11 new electric vehicle models by 2026, seven of which on a dedicated electric vehicle platform, four of them converted over from internal combustion engine platforms. And then they also shared some pretty tepid targets for 2030. They want electric vehicles, hybrid electric vehicles, and plug-in hybrid electric vehicles to make up 40% of their sales in 2030, so about 1.6 million units per year at that point in time. And of that 40%, they envision the split of that to be 55% pure battery electric, 45% hybrid or plug-in hybrid. Well, doesn't take long to do the math on that. In 2030, they only expect 22% of their sales to be pure BEV, leaving 78% for internal combustion engine or hybrid. So pretty mild targets there. I would say Hyundai Kia makes relatively decent electric vehicles. Kind of disappointing to see them target such a low percentage by 2030. The other interesting thing that they noted here was that for electric vehicle profitability, they expect to achieve profitability at the level of existing ICE models in 2025. We don't really hear other automakers talk about their profitability on EVs all that often, so kind of interesting to see a note there on that. All right, shifting back to Tesla here for a second, updating on the Bitcoin story yesterday. Many of you may have seen in the media or on Twitter or Reddit today that about a month back, there was a post on the Bitcoin subreddit that was purported to be from a Tesla insider claiming that he worked in Tesla's R&D department and that Tesla had developed a program for buying Bitcoin and that they had already purchased $800 million of Bitcoin at that point in time. Obviously, with the news of the $1.5 billion investment in Bitcoin, that seemed relatively plausible in hindsight. So that got picked up today by Reuters, Financial Times, a lot of different outlets. But as it turns out, that was all fake, so we have to actually turn to the New York Post here. Didn't think we'd be using them as a source, but turns out this was just a fake post from a 24-year-old political science student over in Germany. Turns out he was also tripping on acid at the time, so I think a good reminder to all of us to be a little bit skeptical of things we see online, even if they seem to be in the right direction. Now, could this be an elaborate cover-up where the actual Tesla insider that does work at Tesla shared his account access with this other person to kind of like take the blame for it? Maybe, but I think the simpler answer is probably just that this person was having some fun speculating. Next here, we've got an update, as we often do, from Green the Only on Twitter. He has found in Tesla's firmware a model of a house with animation elements for what Green says is, quote, a full Tesla energy config, generator, solar panels, power wall, gateway, end quote, which is pretty intriguing, especially given the mention there of generator. Green also found an animation of an industrial setup with Megapack, etc., and one of the elements there he does confirm is named as industrial generator. So pretty interesting to see that, maybe hinting at a energy offering that incorporates a generator, whether that's offered from Tesla or from a company they partner with, or maybe they just want it included in the animation because they anticipate people often utilizing a generator there just for emergency. Obviously, having stored energy is great for that, but you know, if something really, really bad happens, it might be nice, especially for critical infrastructure type of things, to have a generator involved in the system. But regardless of anything happening there with generator, it'll be interesting to see what Tesla has in mind for utilizing this sort of animation. But who knows if or when that'll end up actually surfacing. All right, last couple of things here for today. On SpaceX, Elon Musk did again reiterate the intent to IPO the Starlink portion of the SpaceX business, saying on Twitter last night that, quote, once we can predict cash flow reasonably well, Starlink will IPO, end quote. As we talked about yesterday, Starlink just started taking orders beyond their beta program, so it's tough to say when this might actually happen. In terms of reasonable cash flow prediction, I would expect that to be sometime probably at the earliest next year. I think in 2 years, they'll have a really good sense of how that's looking. So my best guess is probably a couple of years from now, but I think this is also interesting to consider in the context of this sort of company X holding company idea. Because if Elon was trying to position things to head down that path, I'm not sure that they would want to IPO Starlink, as that might just make it a little bit more difficult to then eventually bring it back into the fold for some sort of parent company. Anyway, the other news on SpaceX is that NASA has officially selected SpaceX for a $332 million contract to carry out a launch no earlier than May 2024 on Falcon Heavy for NASA's Power and Propulsion Element and Habitation and Logistics Outpost, PPE and HALO, which NASA says are the foundational elements of their Gateway project, a long-term orbiting outpost around the moon. So something else to look forward to for 2024 if we don't end up seeing an Apple car that year. But that'll do it for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And I'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, February 10th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.